Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and we're back in the Billy Meyer information. I'm going to remind everyone that Edward Albert Meyer is an 80-year-old man who lives in Switzerland, about 45 minutes east of Zurich, in a beautiful pine forest and the mountains of northern Switzerland. It's a little village called Hinterschmidt-Ruti. There is a building there called the Semyase Silver Star Center. And at this center is kind of a global meeting area. People come from all over the world to spend time with the people from Figu, to spend time in nature, and to become more aware and more knowledgeable of the spiritual teachings. And one of the most important spiritual teachings related to the Meyer case is the teaching that revolves around reincarnation and the human spirit and the creation. We talked about this yesterday, and I kind of wanted to revisit it again. In order to evolve, the creation creates something called the human spirit form. Well, maybe we should back up. What is creation? Creation is the intelligence behind our universe, sometimes called the universal consciousness. It's not a heavenly father. It's not going to judge you. It's not going to put you in a heaven or a hell. What we are in is a cycle of living in the material world and a cycle of living in what's called the fine matter world. And our spirit form is said to be a telstock or a tiny fragment of the universal consciousness. And that's our spiritual consciousness. It's also called the human spirit. It's called the Geist form. And it lives in the center of our middle brain in an area called the superior colliculus, where all your senses are integrated, including your sense of sight, your sense of smell, your sense of touch, your hearing. All of that is integrated there in that particular area of the brain. In that spirit form, it enters into the body of a child at 21 days old, and it sends its energy throughout the whole body. And that energy is called the spirit energy. And it is the energy that keeps our whole body alive. The spirit form evolves independently through the human being's material consciousness. So what that means is, as you live a material life form, lifetime, the spirit form is evolving. And the spirit form needs the material life in order to evolve. Because the spirit form is kind of, at this point in our existence, just gathering information. Each lifetime, one of Billy's contacts, a woman named Semyase, said, "The spirit never sleeps, it never dies. It's absorbing all of our impulsations. And it will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong." So the spirit form is totally neutral. And the goal of the spirit form is to collect wisdom and knowledge through these countless reincarnations. And we reincarnate through seven different stages, starting with a primitive stage, going to rational life, then intelligent life, real life, life in creational wisdom. Then we go into the sixth stage, which is half physical, half spiritual. The seventh stage is completely spiritual. We don't need a body anymore. And in order to get into the stage of creational wisdom, it requires 40 to 60 million years of reincarnation. We here on the earth are typically about 4.5 million years old in terms of our spirit form. So the spirit form, it enters into the human body, and its goal in each one of these material lifetimes is to collect wisdom, knowledge, and love. And eventually the spirit form, it merges back with creation. And your experience will help the creation evolve. And there is a book called The Decalogue that Billy Meyer has written, and it describes the creation this way. It says, the creation is the being and the non-being of life. It is the most immense mass of spiritual energy in the universe. It is spirit in its purest form and unmeasurable in its wisdom, knowledge, love, harmony, and truth. The creation is also called a Wesenheiten, and that means it doesn't have a personality, so it evolves according to a predetermined pattern. So the creation radiates love, but it's more like a star that radiates light and heat. The creation is a pure spiritual intelligence energy, and I don't think we can completely grasp it. To grasp the creation in its entirety may be too much for the human being to even hope to do. Now, Semyase, Billy's third contact, and many times she repeated that the creation is wisdom and love. The wisdom and love go together, and the creation and its laws are wisdom and love at the same time. So the creation has no personality, but it radiates love, and that seems contradictory to us and our limited understanding. We think of love as something that requires a personality, but I don't think that's the case, obviously, if the creation is wisdom and love. And love forever is the purpose of our existence. So you can think of love and wisdom as two sides of the same coin, two different sides of the same coin. So you have an innermost creational personality, and it comes from that spirit form. Your material consciousness is who you are during this life, and that material consciousness was a baby again. It had to learn how to control its emotions. It had to learn how to talk again. Had to learn how to walk again. It had to learn how to control its other body functions. It had to learn all these things over again. But deep within the subconscious is the information from the previous lives. And you are impulsed by your subconscious. Your material conscious is impulsed to, you're kind of, it's like a lighthouse. It's a beacon of light that's constantly giving you a kind of a guidance and a path on where you're supposed to go. So in order to evolve, your spirit form, when it's in that other realm, that other dimension called the fine matter world, it creates a storage bank in the other world called the overall consciousness block. And that's where your old material consciousness is dissolved and a new one is built up. So the overall conscious block creates and programs a new consciousness and a new personality in each lifetime. So this is very, very interesting. So we are many, many lifetimes, we are many, many personalities, over time, because our purpose is to evolve to collect information for this universal consciousness. So again, on day 21 after conception, the spirit form and the consciousness block enter into the body of the fetus, and the heart begins to beat. And from that area in your middle brain called the superior colliculus, the spirit form spreads its energy throughout every fiber of the body, and the spirit form enters within the human. It kind of also remains in its own realm, and this is something I don't understand completely yet, but it sounds fascinating. The spirit form cannot be influenced by anything in the material world, through sickness, disease, through the ego, or anything. Your spirit form is completely invulnerable. Now, you have in your subconscious evolutive values, which correspond to truth and reality. And these evolutive values are transformed in an impulse-based way into the material consciousness. That's my understanding. And at the moment of death, the spirit form and the consciousness block leave the body, and it goes into the otherworldly spheres, this fine matter world, and the brain activity stops. The consciousness and the personality go into this storage bank in the fine matter world, and it's all this information related to the past personality and past life is absorbed by the spirit form, all the evolutive values, the love, the wisdom, the logic, the discernment, the honesty, the respect, the patience, the diligence, the humor. All of this is saved in and processed by the spirit form, absorbed by the spirit form, and the subconscious also gets programmed with these values. So each life we come into the new life unburdened from the past. The new personality starts out where the old personality left off in terms of the consciousness evolution, because the level of consciousness evolution is stored in the spirit form. And the highest level of each consciousness form is called the essences. So love, respect, diligence, humor, honesty, they're programmed into the subconsciousness of the new personality. And deep within your subconscious are memories, literal memories of your past lives. Now, as we evolve up through these seven evolutionary steps, we will have access to more of these memories. But right now, it's best that you don't remember these personalities, because these experiences have trauma associated with them and difficulties, and you need to be focusing on this lifetime so that you can evolve. And if you fall back into troubles and difficulties of previous lives, it just leads to more trouble. It doesn't help you at all. So there are storage banks. We have the universal storage banks. We have planetary storage banks of information. And sometimes these impulses come out of the storage banks. For example, an impulse can be defined as an influence of a particular feeling, a mental state. An impulse can be something that changes the momentum of an object. An impulse can be a sudden wish or an urge. In medicine, an impulse is an electrochemical transmission of a signal along a nerve fiber. So Billy has a writing, it's called How It All Began, and it explains how these impulses from the storage banks influenced him as a child. At an age of 4 years old, he was being influenced from these storage banks. He he went outside in a warm night in May and he saw the beautiful starry sky there in Switzerland, and he was getting tremendous impulses, and he was sensitive enough to recognize these impulses. And he said this, he said, "And I also learned who I really was, what I had to learn and do in my life, and what my life task was. I looked at human beings, animals, and nature, as well as all existing things, in a completely new way, and I suddenly felt a great astonishment within myself about which I now discovered. So impulses from the storage bank seem to be associated with understanding, with guidance, and with memory." So I wanted to take the first 15 minutes of the show today and go over reincarnation. I think I'm going to talk about the New World Order again, and then we'll talk about Billy's new vision for a while, and I'll try to finish out the show with some more information from the Might of Thoughts. Now, a lot of the information that I get into related to the New World Order is I try to get information that's parallel to what Billy says, but not always exactly what Billy says. People like old Jordan Maxwell and David Icke and Alex Jones and many, many others study this in detail. And Billy, in his book called The Goblet of Truth, talks about the secret dark order. He says that others will work to take our self-determination away, which is what we're seeing. We're seeing the right of free speech taken away. They want to take away our right to travel, which to me is the most astonishing thing, that they would have the audacity to do that. That's so absurd. They want to take away basically all of our rights and bring in a global tyranny. And Billy says that the people of the earth are unfortunately becoming indolent and obtuse, and that's because of the lack of independent thinking. And independent thinking is the only thing that's going to cause our consciousness to evolve. So it's so critical that we learn to think independently of the radio, the internet, all these other sources. So the plan with the New World Order is to engineer a third world war, which involves China. You know, we're born into the world, we don't really understand it. Our material consciousness doesn't. We don't know who we are or where we really come from. And these are questions that the Meyer material starts to answer, because now we understand from the Meyer information that there are human beings all over our universe, human beings, human civilizations that have lived on other worlds. We also have not only human beings in other solar systems and other galaxies, but human beings in our universe in different space-time configurations. This is a hard thing for us to really understand, but there are different dimensions or different space-time configurations. And these Pleiaran people that Billy has met with are in a different space-time configuration. They're not from our Pleiades, but they're from a dimension, a different space-time configuration, some 80 light years beyond our Pleiades. And they are much higher along in the evolutionary seven steps than we are. They come here to bring a teaching. That's all they come here to do, is to bring a teaching. Unfortunately, they visited us in the ancient past, and they did. Some of their groups caused trouble here. Let's just say that. They negatively affected the evolvement of Earth humans. And I think they had something to do with the setting up of this New World Order, which still exists, even though the Giza intelligences are gone. So you might say that there's a five-sense conspiracy going on. In other words, people don't understand that there is more to life than we see, than we hear, and we only see a tiny frequency range of things. And this 5 cents conspiracy, the New World Order wants a world government, which would dictate all major policy in every country. They want a central bank, which would dictate global finance. They want a world currency, which would be no physical money, just entries in a computer. They want a world army, which will impulse, it will impose the will of the world government. They want a microchip population, and they want super states, gigantic states like the European Union and things like that. So what has happened over the years is that human beings have been blinded intentionally, and there's a kind of hidden knowledge, I believe, hidden knowledge that have been passed down through these secret societies. And in the ancient past, there were very high civilizations. In other words, there was an advanced global society in the distant past. And the evidence is the tremendous structures that exist all over the place. And some of these structures have stones which weigh hundreds of tons, which were moved many miles over mountains and hills. And it took an advanced technology to do this. I mean, some of the stones you could probably move with hundreds of people. But there were obviously very advanced societies here. And the Meyer material tells us that there were very advanced human beings here. And some of the archaeologists now, like Brian Forrester, are starting to see evidence of this. For example, the elongated skulls, where there aren't the three parietal lines that we see in the back of our skull. The skulls are much larger than human skulls. They have more volume. The eye sockets are bigger. And they have two strange holes in the back, which are not present on the typical skull, but I kind of digress a little bit. Anyway, we select our presidents by these elections, supposedly. But we're only given the choices that the elite want us to have. I think Trump is the closest person that we've had that was potentially outside of the control of the elite. But I think he may be, in fact, still controlled by the elite. We'll keep our mind open on this. But the political parties tell us what we want to hear. And these political parties, they worship a god called economic growth. And this god of economic growth is destroying our world. For example, if there's a oil spill, money still changes hands. It's an economic growth thing. Even with something as horrific as an oil spill, which destroys our beaches, economic growth is the god of our economic civilization, our economic system. We bomb civilian populations under the excuse of protecting them. Our food has toxins in it. We have vaccines full of chemical toxins that we put in our children. The world is a madhouse, and we'll get into Billy's visions here, and you'll see how the world is a madhouse. So the idea of what is normal has developed over time. The alternative media has allowed people to look outside the postage stamp reality, which is what the normal media keeps you in a box about as big as a postage stamp. And this is all they want you to know. And this is all the information that we get. What was going on in the world is regime change. We're seeing the global elite take down who is in control of, for example, Afghanistan, who is in control of Iraq. They want to go into Iran. They want to go into North Korea. It's the New World Order that wants to slowly regime change all these different nations all over the world. General Wesley Clark has talked about this. We're seeing vast agencies of world government that are dictating health policies and trade policies. They want to centralize power. There are people talking about the population, which is under attack. People talk about chemtrails, and I know the Meyer material has kind of put the na-na on chemtrails, but others say we're being sprayed with nano-aluminum, which passes the blood-brain barrier in the brain, and the human beings have no defense against this. The nano-aluminum gets into the blood. It destroys crops, and only the Monsanto crops will be resistant to this nano-aluminum. All of these attempts are designed to take away the third eye, which is our pineal gland. It's all designed to cause calcification on the pineal gland, which short circuits people's independent thinking, which short circuits the spiritual function of people. For example, the Nazis put the fluoride in the water in the concentration camps, which caused the same kind of thing. The New World Order is attempting to dumb us down and to stop our spiritual connection. During World War II, the Nazis wanted the prisoners to be dumb enough that they would not overthrow their captors. However, they wanted them to be smart enough to work. And that's what the New World Order is now doing to the population of the United States. In fact, the population of the world. This New World Order goes back to the ancient world. It existed in Babylon, where the prison religions were created and the prison histories were created. And this is what we have now. For example, Tammuz, the prison religions were created by taking the symbolic literally. If you go back, you will hear about many people that were born on December 25th. Some of these individuals were given frankincense and myrrh. The Illuminati worshipped Nimrod, the son of Tammuz. It is interesting that the Illuminati say that Tammuz and his father Nimrod were one. The female element of the Babylonian Trinity was called Queen Semiramis. And Tammuz was called the Son of God in ancient Babylon. And they say he died to save the sins of humanity, in effect. So this is what we're dealing with now. I think I'm going to take a short break and play a few nature sounds, and then we'll get on with Billy's new vision. Okay, folks, sorry about that. Every time this show starts, I get 10 different things that suddenly happen. What is Billy talking about in his new vision? Well, that's a good question. There's a lot to it. I took notes on it like crazy this afternoon. He talked about the fact that the rich in the companies, they're collecting salaries that are absurdly high. There are people in our government which are criminals and lawless. The larger and larger fortunes are being stolen from the labor force. The populations allow all these things to take place, and they do not defend themselves. And Billy explains that much of the population cannot think for themselves. And I think that's very true. These people have lost the ability for independent thinking. The citizens are no longer free people. They are politically controlled. The people of today, they are lacking initiative. They do not even defend themselves. And people are in lethargy. Sometimes people will wake up from their lethargy and they go into a blind rage. And there's this raging dissatisfaction which takes place over people. Into the future, way into the future, we will eventually rule ourselves. So the people need to wake up from their lethargy. We must put a stop to the globalization. And nature is being affected and destroyed by this globalization. We must start to think independently. We must seek information from various sources. And independent thinking is the duty of the human being. This is all what Billy said on this contact. This is contact 691, I believe. We must form our own opinions. Many people are not able to think independently. We must be capable of questioning the opinions of others. The people are not able to even recognize independent thinking. So Billy has had two visions of the coming futures, and they really shook him up. Billy has made probability calculations that lead for a future disaster. He still says the overpopulation is the biggest problem. He's talking about the gigantic wildfires that have come to the United States. He talks about fire tornadoes in the U.S. that have destroyed thousands of buildings and forests. Now, I don't really understand yet the difference between the two visions. They seem like the same thing to me, but I'll just push forward. Billy is saying that there will be a huge extermination of the human beings on the earth. And this will come by the actions of our governments. And this is a monstrous future that we're talking about. The people in power say that they only have hope to stay in power by a drastic reduction of the world's population. These global elites and capitalist powers, they're involved in religion, and they want to remain involved in religion. The elite are performing war crimes that are much worse than what was performed by the Nazis, and they will do so even more so in the future. The global elite will show no mercy and will perform the extermination of human beings, which will occur in many different ways. There will be plagues which are created artificially through diseases. These biological plagues will destroy much of humanity. They will be presented to the public as naturally occurring new plagues. The diseases will come through the skin and through the respiratory tract. There will be wars and famines, which will be used to kill off many people. The elite will poison the food and the drinking water. This poisoning will take place on a worldwide scale. An atomic war will be used to depopulate the human masses. The murder of humankind will be seen on a scale that we have never seen before. There are complicated changes that are taking place all over the world, economically, politically, and militarily. The states, the large and small states, will give their armies modern weapons. There will be attacks on political organizations by criminal groups. China is becoming a confident superpower. The refugee problem will continue to grow worse in the future. About 350 million people will move all over the world and into Europe. They will bring about new diseases. There will be technological advancements, which will be good and bad. The climate and the ecosystems will be more and more damaged. The environmental destruction will continue in the future. The destruction of nature will continue because of the indifference and the hatred of people. The growing overpopulation will lead to much of the destruction of the environment. All over the world, states will fall into civil unrest. There will be severe domestic revolts. The delusional believers in the religions will become more and more involved in wars. They will create much suffering for humanity. The governments will become more and more deceitful and lead the populations into confusion. Lobbying will take away much freedom. They will bribe our politicians. The popular media will become more and more of a power. Now that surprises me. I thought they were losing power, but evidently not. The false information will come out of the false media. I'm still amazed at how many people buy into the false media. And there will also be false conspiracy theories. And one of those, I think, is the flat earth, just my opinion. Economic problems will continue. There will be a great danger that is brought about by wars. The global situation today is worse than it was during the time of the Cold War. And the U.S. is really the cause of all these problems. Many of our treaties have been broken. The U.S. will break up into different population groups. We've talked about that before in Henoch Prophecy, that the U.S. will break up into five different areas. There will be two civil wars. This is supposed to start around 2020. There will be hostilities between the states of the U.S. All over the world, different states, different governments are on the brink of destruction. Russia will become the target of terrorists. Nuclear powers will wage nuclear wars. So I guess the nuclear war is still a possibility. I hope Trump isn't going into Korea. Nuclear powers will wage nuclear wars. Natural resources will become rare commodities. Countries will have wars over natural resources. Of course, the prosperity of humans will be threatened. Humanity will create strange ruling governments which will steer the world into ruin. Terrorism will become out of control. The political perils all over the world will create armed conflicts. The unemployment rate will increase. The whole economy will be in trouble. There will be a decrease in wages. There will be global economic crisis. Eventually, there will be kind of a martial law. There will be a ban on cash. And this will cause the elite to become hugely wealthy. There are secret plans to start a war against Russia. There are countries that are not really independent states. They are just enforced regions with criminals who are in charge. I think it's almost that bad in the U.S. The retirement institutions will not be able to pay people their pensions. Many states will be driven into a financial destruction. All of the social systems will collapse. People will die of starvation. Independent states will be treated as enemies of the U.S. The U.S. will continue to bring terrible weapons into Europe. There are various regional powers like the EU dictatorship that are arming themselves. All over the world, populations will become more and more discontent. The elites will corrupt politicians and will create the surveillance states. And we've talked about the global platform that exists out in space that observes the whole world and they can see pretty much everything that's going on. Populations will become more and more discontent, and the surveillance state will increase more and more. We need a worldwide birth stoppage so that we can get down to 529 million individuals. This must be changed. This must happen. The governments will not be able to control the people in the future. There is much corruption. Many criminal organizations in China, in Japan, in the Middle East, and the Western countries. So this is where we are. This is the new visions that Billy has for the Earth. Not what you would call fun, typically. Now, Billy has some really, really good books, one of which is called The Might of Thoughts. And it's a very good book because it teaches you to control your thinking, and we're all going to have to be able to control our thinking more and more. If your thinking becomes too positive or too negative, there's an imbalance that occurs. So we are a humankind that's ill in our consciousness, and we have to find our correct mode of thinking again. And it all starts with independent thinking. And the evolution of the consciousness can only come about through the independent thinking of every human being. So make sure that you do your own thinking, that you do not get your information from the television, the radio, the newspapers, the books. Go to multiple different sources. Do not just take Billy's information. Do not just take anyone's information. We want to have logic versus faith. And faith short circuits logic. We want to think independently. That means figuring out things on your own. If you can't think independently, you will become a Sartang, and excuse me for my terrible pronunciation in German, which means to get very badly out of control of the good human nature. Remember, your good thoughts create good feelings. Your good feelings create good habits. Your good habits create good circumstances in your life. All of your might is anchored in your thoughts. You are the forger of your own fortune. You're the creator of your own destiny. You create your own good luck. In fact, you create your own suffering too, many times through your thinking. So you want to be in a neutral, positive balance, so that both the positive and the negative are brought together and equalized. And from there, a healthy, progressive thinking can come about. Your consciousness is like a garden. Your consciousness is like a flourishing garden. And in order to maintain your garden, you have to clarify your thoughts. You have to make them less confused. more comprehensible. Clarifying means to take out the ambiguity. It means to strengthen the borders. See, confusion is mingling things together, where clarification creates a clear picture of all of the pieces in their appropriate place. So a lot of times, for the clarification of my thoughts, I go over things over and over again. So all the wrong, useless, negative, impure thoughts have to be eliminated to create more space for neutral, positive, equalized thoughts. Emmanuel said, "Truly I say to you, a love that is unlimited, constant, and unfailing is unconditional and is pure love." Everything human within the human must die, but everything of creation within the human must rise up and embrace creation. So the psyche, we have the psyche, which controls the thoughts and feelings of your material consciousness. The material consciousness is in the human brain. It personifies the force of your decision making, your thought processes, your considerations, your deliberations. The psyche arranges the thoughts. The human being can create a consciousness which is like a garden, which is filled with healthy, growing plants. Or you can create a consciousness which is filled with weeds, which grow out of control, which have a confusing and destructive effect. And once you create these negative thoughts, they develop a life of their own, just like plants. So you gather the sweet fruits of your own good thoughts or the bitter fruits of your negative thoughts. And if you allow this to go too far, you will be a psychically disturbed human being. You will see things within a negative realm of negative thoughts. And your thoughts will be forced into a cycle in which the same thoughts and themes appear over and over again. You'll have a rotation of thoughts which can run out of control. You will start to think thoughts that you can't stop, and it seems like you're out of control. And this is, you're on the path down into being mentally ill at that point. So whoever has negative thoughts will soon allow himself to be controlled by them. So you have to pluck those out. You also have to learn to think of neutral, meaning to think of neutral experiences. Put your mind on neutral things. If you're obsessed with thinking about something, chances are you're having very negative thoughts. That which the human being thinks, he makes real. And that which the human being thinks about himself or herself, you become. You're the Lord and Master of your entire life. Every human being that practices self-cognition will be the Lord and Master of his own life. Therefore, in any case, it is absolutely always necessary that a good and positive thoughts, they must be tended and nurtured, they must be clarified, they must be strengthened. And it's also critical that you have a good opinion of yourself. So you need to nurture, means to feed and protect, to support and encourage. So you need to support and encourage your good thoughts. It may be that you just every morning tell yourself, "I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful, I'm enthusiastic, I persevere, I endure, I am satisfied, I have hope." Tell yourself these things. Tell yourself you're the forger of your own fortune. You're the creator of your own good luck. That which is a thought fulfills itself sooner or later. Therefore, the human being is always the Lord and Master of his own thinking. Even when we are a fetus in the womb, we still had thoughts. So you are the master of your own destiny. Eventually, you will go through all these evolutionary steps, all these seven evolutionary steps that I talked about. And you'll go up to this Arahat Athrasada level. This takes billions of years. You'll lose the need for a physical body. You'll be called a king of wisdom and Ishwish. Everyone does, it's my understanding. Wishes and prayers should be a petition to your own spirit form. And petition yourself. Do not throw me into confusion and delusion, but release me from my misunderstanding. And some people fall prey to addictions. You know, there are people in the world today that are addicted to world domination. We have the Jewish Zionists. We have Ron Hubbard and certain Christian groups which are addicted to world domination. You can be addicted to your own desires. You can be addicted to drugs. You can be addicted to wrong wishes, hopes, and actions. And that causes ever worsening circumstances in your life. Addiction is a state characterized by compulsive engagement in rewarding a stimuli. So you're living a stimuli kind of life at that point. One of the big problems is we think unconsciously and we allow our thought boats to drift. You need to steer your thoughts like a captain steers a ship. So if you live in an let your unconscious guide you, this unconscious will affect your emotions. Our unconscious has the ability to actually cause circumstances. You know your unconscious can set a target, a goal, a zeal? That's astonishing. I learned that the other day. Empirical evidence suggests that the unconscious phenomena includes repressed feelings, automatic skills, subliminal perceptions, thoughts, habits, automatic reactions, hidden phobias and desires. It is a fact that the human being may want what is good and positive, but he stops that by his unconscious, which takes a control of him. So we have the law of harmony. It's one of the creational natural laws. And if you're living outside that creational natural law, you will have suffering in some form, which is related to negative or bad thinking. So harmony gets disregarded and you become unbalanced in your thinking. So we need to learn this strengthening of your thoughts. This repeating these things like, I am confident, I am optimistic, I am relaxed, I am cheerful. This will burn the impurities out of your consciousness. It will pluck out these weeds. And your vision, your thinking part of your brain, will be pure and luminous. It will be cleansed of all impurities. You will not have self-created suffering. And you will be in control of your thoughts, there will be a harmony. And in the Gospel of Truth, it says, in 22:13, it says, it is necessary that you live in ample harmony with powers that are in you and around you, as well as with the disharmonious powers that stand in contradiction to them. Since everything is built up on the contrariness, and therefore, always both poles, positive and negative, must be taken into consideration and included in the efficacy of equalization, for which there is no other way. So, our thoughts can be controlled along the right path so that we can have inner freedom and harmony. And one of the synonyms for harmony is concord, unity, peace, enmity, friendship. So if we have an inner harmony, it is a good possibility that we are maintaining neutral positive thinking. So if something that is neutral is said to not be in conflict, it's impartial. Billy talks about neutral as being balanced between the positive and the negative. Billy had an interview in 1988 where he said that self-control one possesses must be self-evident and can be gained through the arduous self-scrutiny where every iota of one's thoughts is kept completely safe and under control regardless of the outside influences. One must not allow even the minutest negative vibration of thought and emotion to radiate or become noticeable to others in any way. A totally neutral, unbiased attitude towards all forms of life at all times must be achieved, which ultimately becomes one second nature. Arduous means requiring great exertion, laborious, difficult. So controlling our thoughts and making sure they are neutral, positive, it takes effort. The term cognition is a collective term for all the processes, the manifestations and structures which are associated with the conscious and the unconscious perception of anything. Again, we have both the conscious and the unconscious perception, which is really interesting. One of the important things to take notice of here is that we perceive things also in an unconscious manner. We have what are called preconscious processes. So thoughts can move into the preconscious. Unconscious processes of perception run their course. So your psyche is influenced by these unconscious processes. Preconscious are the thoughts which the unconscious, at the particular moment in question, which are not repressed and therefore are available for recall. So preconscious thoughts can become capable of being conscious. So we have unconscious thoughts which can create unconscious feelings. Remember me talking about the stigmatization or these delusional visions that people have? Stigmatization are the wounds of Christ which appear on people's bodies, phenomena, the bleeding wounds on the back and the palms, as well as on the loins, the insteps, on the forehead, the head, and the backs in terms of flagellations. All of that comes from the incredible power of the unconscious and the subconscious minds. So unconscious thoughts and feelings can really affect our health. We do not realize the incredible power of our own thinking. So we have selective perception and selective attentiveness, which plays quite an important role. So we screen out things that we just don't want to deal with. So anyway, been a lot of fun today. I really enjoyed getting into the mind of thoughts deeply. I think we need it after listening to Billy's new vision. I hope you've enjoyed this evening's show. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great evening.